What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day of July 2024. And tonight he's back there in the glass cage. He's our producer, highly qualified, young style.
Highly or hardly?
Well, there you go. That one was highly. Anyhow, you heard the cackle. That's it. If she's walking, she's talking. Lisa Hickman.
Good evening, everyone.
Alrighty, that's enough now. Right. And then we had an experiment here, right, Richard? You were right here, and we proved that she couldn't stop talking, right?
Oh.
I mean, did I prove it or not?
Oh, Pastor.
I'm going to pass on that.
All right, there you go. Pastor Richard Lewis, there he is.
Welcome, everybody. Glad to be here.
And then way out yonder, it's a, you know, forget what you heard about Dr. Kildare, okay? or what's the latest one you had, the guy that ran for office, Dr., what was his name? The one that ran for, in Pennsylvania, he ran for, and I can't remember his name. But I remember this guy's name. It's Dr. Peter Glidden.
Thanks for having me, Pastor. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. I guess you're going to just, mesmerize our folks tonight with a spectacular program, right?
Yes, sirree. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
All righty, we'll get her done. All right, we're going to start off. The title of the message was that you could lead a horse to water and you can lead a soul to wisdom. Well, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink, but you can make him thirsty. And there's ways of doing that. And you can lead a soul to wisdom, the Word of God, but you can't make him read it. But you can make him curious, right?
Amen.
And so we're going to pick it up where we left off in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born and a time to die. Okay, so now, here, the Bible says everyone has a right to be born, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Everyone has a right
yes.
to be born. Yet, we have a society, a wicked society that has denied, that said, no, God doesn't decide. who should be born, but we do it. We have a wicked court. You know, Lord's willing, Sunday I'm going to be preaching a message, and the title is called Strictly from the Book, Strictly from the Book. And there are people out there living, thinking that their world is a reality. But God says, no, wait a minute here. I gave you the reality. I gave you the reality. It's in 66 books of the Bible, right?
Amen.
And here, so he says, there's a time to be born and a time to die. Well, you know, the people that kill the unborn, that is their time. The Bible says when you kill a child, you deserve to die. See, people don't know that. In our society, we have a society, it says, well, you know, look, we pass laws and that, and God's going to have to conform to those laws. Does God know that?
No.
God's not going to conform to those laws, are they?
No.
God has his laws, and that they're absolute.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, do we have a whole lot of people out there today that are in for an extremely rude awakening, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, I've heard people say, well, when I stand before God, I'm going to ask him why he allowed things like this, why he didn't allow children to be born in poverty. No, you won't be standing, you'll be on your knees before God, and he'll be doing the talking. That's reality, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, that's the way it's really going to be, okay? And he says here, it's a time to plant and a time to pluck up. That's to plant and harvest, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. A time to kill and a time to heal. Well, you know, we just mentioned one of the times to kill, but war, in war, the Bible, very specific, it doesn't stutter. The times of war is a time to kill. In self-defense, the Bible makes it very clear that in self-defense, it's a time you can kill. Or the biblical view, the Noahic covenant, where he gives you the statute of capital punishment, okay, mm-hmm. in accordance with God's law, okay. Why is it that here in Ohio, I'm totally against capital punishment, even though I was in, well, for 45 years, I went up to death row on a regular basis, and I sat right there with men. Now, I'm all in favor of capital punishment according to the way God gives us that in the Noahic Covenant, okay?
Yes.
But here, the Bible is very specific in order to administer the death penalty, you have to have standing. Our government has corrupted. Our government lost its standing. It's got power, but it's got no legitimacy. When they legalized killing children, when they legalized sodomite marriage, when they legalized, they lost all legitimacy. So in a state of Ohio, when they execute an inmate, you simply have one criminal administering a punishment to another. See, now, that's reality. But even most of the pastors are afraid to acknowledge that, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And the problem is our court system is so corrupt that the somebody that is charged with a crime like that, you don't even know what's going on. You know, if you have enough money, you don't get charged.
Right.
If you can afford a good lawyer, you don't go to prison. If you can't afford a lawyer, you're going to go to prison.
Well, if you can buy a prosecutor, then that's the way it is. Okay. In other words, a lot of these prosecutors, not only do you know are they for sale, but they demand that you give them a throwaway. In other words, I mean that's how bad it's gotten. Look, you want to walk, all right, but I need to convict somebody.
Right.
Does it really matter if they're guilty or innocent? You know, let the money. Money talks and others walk, okay? And you'll walk, that's what they say. I mean, that's reality. That's what's happening. People say, well, boy, that's being negative. Yeah, it's negative, but it's reality in our day to day.
It's factual.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's unfortunate, but it's factual, yes.
Yeah. And what you have here, you have 28, it refers to the 28 different times. And then you have 14 pairs of opposites in this 28 different times here. And so here, he goes on to say, a time to kill and a time to heal. a time to break down and a time to build up. Well, you know, the Bible gives us a couple good examples of that, where it talks about the breaking down. It says that Nebuchadnezzar broke down Jerusalem, and then here Zerubbabel built up Jerusalem. So he gives you a couple examples there, probably. Maybe he might have had those, some of those in mind. And then he goes on, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Well, you know, there's times to weep. And, you know, we mourn the dead.
Yes.
We mourn the dead. And, you know, David danced before the ark, you know. But there's a time. Time to mourn, too, is when you know that so many people are going to die in their sin.
Yes.
And you know, and you witness to people, and you see those out there today. You see the wickedness in our society. And you see what's happening to our children here. And, you know, the Lord Jesus said, he said, I come to bring a sword, okay, not peace, but he said, father against son, mother against daughter, brother against sister, and so on. And that means he simply was talking about the fact, Richard, that those that would receive him would be at odds and totally with those against it that rejected him, rejected his substitutionary death. We're seeing, and we're going to see this rise up. I mean, we're really going to see it. People turning on each other. We're going to see division. That's coming as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, deeper and deeper to the apostasy, as the Antichrist begins more power and more. And in fact, you know, we're seeing. Well, for example, here, even. Even in the fake news media, here, I got an article here. Surprise. PMSNBC's Joe Scarborough says Biden campaign believes that Barack Obama is the mastermind behind the coup to replace Biden as the Democrats' nominee. Well, they're talking about Obama and Hillary getting together and to throw old Joe under the bus. But within that collective, and I know I've said this many, many times, but people need to think about this. Joseph Stalin said to lay your head on the breast of a friend to gain his complete confidence and trust, and then to thrust a dagger in his back, there's nothing sweeter. In other words, when you see within the collective, if you can betray or take somebody down, someone of importance, the more important the more power they have, if you can betray them and take them down, then that adds to your standing within the collective, okay? Hmm. We saw that with Jimmy Carter and the Shah of Iran. You know, one day Jimmy's got his arm around his shawl, the next day he's taking him down.
Mm-hmm.
You saw that with Barack Obama and the president of Egypt, Barak. Obama had betrayed him, double-crossed him. He ended up dying in a cage.
Yes.
You saw that with Hillary, with Ambassador Stevens and Gaddafi. And Hillary and Gaddafi had supported her, but she betrayed him, and as they beat him to death, like he was begging for mercy, she was cackling and laughing, okay? So within the collective, to us, betrayal is something that's very repulsive, but to the Democrats, betrayal is like everything else that God's Word, the Bible, calls a sin. It's something for them to embrace. If the Word of God calls it a sin, and they do it, I know they say, well, wow, I mean, that's really hard to get a hold of, but it's reality, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
We're seeing it unfold right now, so, I mean.
He goes on to say, time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. Well, you know, that was one of the sayings when they planted a garden, cast away the stones to plant the garden, and then it says the time to gather stones to build the walls, okay?
Yeah.
So a time to get and a time to lose. There's a time to acquire things, and then there's a time to get rid of it. Like, in my lifetime, being married for going on 57 years, boy, we've acquired a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I've acquired a lot of stuff that I don't need. I didn't necessarily, I don't know about you, but I didn't necessarily acquire people. Give it to me. And so, you know, we want you to have this, we want you to have that, and, you know, and we'll be thankful that we, you know, we do. And then there's a time to lose that stuff. And when you get our age, Richard, it's time to start saying, maybe we should start giving some of the stuff away, or maybe, you know.
Yeah, we need to declutter. It's
yeah.
almost a,
yes.
a continual job to try to declutter and get rid of stuff you don't use anymore.
You're not kidding. Then he says, a time to rend and a time to sow. He's talking about getting rid of your old garments. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Well, Abraham Lincoln said, for men to remain silent when they should speak up makes cowards of men and destroys nations.
Yes.
And that's the point of it is we need to speak up.
Yes.
And if we had, and see, that's the problem we've had today in America. The reason the things are the way they are is because it started with, the Bible says the judgment begins in the house of God. It started in the house of God, in the pulpit. The pastors failed to speak up when they had the authority. Remember, in Nazi Germany, when the pastors told Hitler, we are the soul of Germany. Hitler said, no, you're not. I am. I'm the soul, okay? I've got the military. Had the pastors stood together, if all the pastors had stood up with one voice, Hitler could have never got, the people would have followed the pastors.
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
would have followed, but they didn't. The pastors there, they failed him. They failed God, and they failed the people. And today, they failed it in 63 when they kicked God out of the public schools. The pastors failed God and country. In 73, they failed when they legalized killing babies. The pastors failed God and country. And even today, there's only a handful of us that will stand. There was a handful of us that stood against. Well, actually, there was hundreds, but, you know, compared to the tens of thousands of pastors in this country,
yeah,
where maybe a very small percentage, maybe 5% of us stood up, okay, against the sodomite marriage. And so here, it's in it, and it's like nobody learns. They never learn, do they?
No.
And then a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Okay, the Bible clearly teaches what that we love what God loves and hate what God hates. Okay,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Often you'll hear people say, well, now, the Bible says to hate the sin but to love the sinner. The Bible doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. That's what the Bible actually teaches. And then he says it's time of war and a time of peace. Well, yeah, there's a time, there should have been war when God was so dishonored, when this nation forgot her God. And we're probably very, this country is probably closer to World War III than it's ever been right now.
Yes.
And I know that the country is more divided than it's been since the Civil War.
Yes.
And so he says, let me go back here to 4. I want to jump back. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. I wanted to go to when he says here, there, that's what I was looking for. A time to embrace, that's what we missed. I didn't read that. a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. We have to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 7. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 through 7. Peter, you just jump in if you have a question or a comment.
Well, I do have a comment, Pastor. I mean, history doesn't repeat itself. It rhymes, right? I mean, not everybody who had the chance to got on board Noah's Ark.
Right.
And, right, it's the same today. I mean, not everybody who, not everyone has ears to hear. And this is the situation that we've always been in. It's the situation that we continue to be in. And you think that it would have changed as time marches forward. But sadly, I don't think it has. And unless there's a gigantic silent minority in the world, I think, you know, it's just a handful of us who are carrying the day here.
There's a couple of things that are happening in this country. You know, the Bible tells you in the end times, the wicked will become more wicked and the righteous become more righteous. And we're seeing little places of revival popping up here and there. It's actually happening around the country. About every 50 or 55 years, we have some kind of a revival in the country. And the last time was there in Illinois back about, I think it was back in the 60s. But you had a little bit of a revival that took place. But in fact, we're going to be sending that out in our newsletter. The next newsletter we get, you'll see some of that. But let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when it talks about the time to embrace and the time to refrain. Now, concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. He's talking about celibacy. And nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not the power over her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not the power out of his own body. Well, you become one when you become married, mm-hmm. and you, and again, he's talking about denying sexual relationships with one another. And, you know, so many times today, not just today, but, you know, it's been forever. Often women would use that, you know, maybe it's if they're angry at their husband. And I remember one time when I hadn't been married long, was newly married. And, well, I'd been married probably 5 years or so. But I went in and I handed my wife a bottle of aspirin. And she said, "What's this for?" I said, "For your headache." She said, "I don't have a headache." I said, "That's what I wanted to hear." And see, sometimes you can get them, but it works both ways. But used to mostly with the women who, with their husbands. And so he says this: defraud you not one another, except it be for consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So here he's telling you that, you know, the old saying that absence makes the heart grow fonder. And sometimes it's a good to get a little bit of a separation. You don't necessarily have to leave, but you know, when there's tensions and there's something that's, you know, not agreeable on, sometimes it's not a bad idea to take a couple of days away from each other. What do you think?
Yeah, as long as it's done for the right reasons and not a situation where somebody's pouting or something, it's should be for sometimes you need a little more clarity and when you do that, that's where you need to go with prayer and fasting. And this is the time to examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't point our fingers at the other person and all that. Examine ourselves and our own deeds and our own actions.
Well, you know, and sometimes it's good just to, you know, for individuals, you know, just to get away. I know some years ago when I was live on the radio, I had a Big Mac attack, okay? And the Big Mac attack, it had the symptoms of a heart attack. Mm. As I was actually speaking, boom, the pains run across the chest and down the arm, the whole shooting match. Then my jaw locked up, you know, on the air. I could hardly talk. Well, my producer at that time was a young woman. She thought, now I don't know why she would think I was pranking her, but she thought I was kidding her. I was pranking her, but wow. It wasn't. And that's when Ed Corsi. Do you remember Ed Corsi?
Yeah, sure.
He was listening, and he called me and said, "I'll meet you halfway," because the program was just coming to an end, and. He was giving me, he had cayenne pepper tablets, and I guess that would stop Peter would know more about that than us. That can stop a heart attack in the midst of it, because I was having a heart attack.
You put cayenne pepper under your tongue.
Yeah, well, what happened was, it was just a lot of stress, because I was dealing with a lot of things, you know, going to Cork for preaching out there, and preaching out in front of the abortion mills. I had all these pro-abortions trying to sue me and all that because I was saving babies. And so you had a lot of things happening at one time. So they told me I needed to get away, and I had to get peace and quiet, right? So I went to the doctor. I went right there. The doctor was asking me what I've done the last couple of days. And when I told him, he said, a schedule like that will kill you. That will kill you. And so he said, I'm going to hospitalize you for and do some examining. And so here, when I'm checking into the hospital, right, I'm supposed to be going there for peace and quiet. The woman is checking me in. She said, I know that voice. She said, Pastor Sanders. Yeah. I said, yeah. The next thing I know, I got all these people that I don't know coming and stopping by my room to see me.
Okay. Goodness.
And so we went to the, I took off and I went to the Black Forest in Pennsylvania. I went up there. Now, you had to see this. So I go all the way up to the Black Forest. I'm supposed to be totally peace and quiet. Now, in that hill way up there, there's this little cabin. And this cabin it's about the size of my car out there. It had a little miniature bed. It had a really small microwave you ever saw. An actual little sink in there, but no bathroom or anything. In order to go use the bathroom, you had to walk all the way down the hill, about almost a half a mile down.
Oh.
So it's sitting way up in the middle. And so I get in this place, and it's got a little porch out there in the front too. And I put my suitcase on this little bed, and I'm just starting to unpack, and there's a knock at the door. So I go open the door, and there's a guy standing there. He looked like a scout leader. And he said, excuse me, he said, I saw your name when you come in. He said, I'm camp counselor here. Are you Pastor Ernie Sanders, the radio? I said, yeah. He said, Pastor, I knew it. He said, I was hoping you could do tomorrow's service for us.
Oh,
right?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, like I said, we all these years, we haven't had one boring day. Not a boring day at all. And so, yeah. But, boy, there were some interesting things that happened there. I ran into a great big black bear there. Okay?
Oh, wow.
And I was more upset than the bear. But anyhow, that's another story. But anyhow, so he goes on here. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. So the Apostle Paul is saying that he had direct divine authorization to speak what he was speaking here. For I would that all men were hope, or even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. And we're going to make a few announcements, and then we're going to turn it over to Peter, huh? We got a couple of quick announcements we got to make, Peter. And so...
I have one here, Pastor, while you're grabbing the next one. It says, Protect Ohio Children's. Planned Parenthood curriculum is out into the schools, in the middle schools, and the curriculum is teaching... this says Massachusetts, it's Get Real. The curriculum is graphic and inappropriate for minors. And it says, parents, before your kids go back to school, do your homework. Ask your district which curriculum is being used for sex education. Is the district using the Planned Parenthood curriculum? Ask the district which curriculum is being used, social environmental learning. And you can go to protectohiochildren.net and get more information on that.
Yeah, folks, please do that. Protectohiochildren.net. Write that down and go up there and see what you can do to stop. In fact, it lists you the three districts here, the three school districts where they've found this here. Is the Bexley City School District, the Columbus City School District, West Carrollton City, and Montgomery. Here, the curriculum is produced by the Planned Predator, the League of Massachusetts, folks. They are the most wicked, evil, ungodly, creeping, crawler, purveyors of death. They're the worst kind of pedophiles. They're evil to the core, Planned Parenthood. They are evil. Even their names are alike. They've got nothing to do with parenthood, do they?
Not at all.
No.
Another quick announcement is, a lot of people don't know that there's going to be another debate tomorrow night, presidential debate. But people don't know about this debate because these are three candidates that you're not hearing about on the news, but they're having their own debate. It's going to be on C-SPAN tomorrow and on Rumble and the Scripps News and others. And Randall Terry, our good friend Randall Terry, will be debating Chase Oliver and Jill Stein. And, of course, Randall is sold out to us 110%. He's a pro-God, pro-family, pro-life. Now, let me tell you why he's running for president. He's not running for president to get elected president. He's running for president because by doing this, it's a federal campaign. He can buy ads. He's as long as he gets the money, he can buy ads, television ads, and he can buy these pro-life ads on programs like The View, where the wickedness, or even on PMSNBC. Like, so he can, and that's what he's doing. Okay,
praise God.
Well, believe me, can you imagine those wicked, wicked, unclean women of The View having pro-life ads running during their program? And now, one other quick announcement here. Breaking: House defeats resolution holding Garland in contempt. You know, here, how many times have we been betrayed? We are so, we get it, right? And the rhinos, the rhino Republicans here, this wicked Garland, this wicked, wicked Garland, you see what he did to the January Sixers. You have what? Two people murdered, and I think four died, or several died anyhow, of suicide in prison. These people have been in prison over 3 years without even a hearing now. Mm-hmm. But according to the latest Supreme Court ruling, 120 of them have to be released right away. And so, because the Supreme Court ruling overruled, okay, so they have to be released. And I've been keeping in touch with them. So here, they voted to fine him, this wicked Merrick Garland, this wicked, wicked Antichrist man, who sick the FBI on homeschoolers, on pro-lifers. Hmm. In fact, they're going after pro-lifers. They have put, the FBI has pro-lifers on terrorist list. Not terrorists, but pro-lifers on terrorist list, okay? And here's the four rhinos. Here's the four raunchy rhinos that sold us out again. One more time, these Congress, they voted in Congress, and they would have passed had these four rhinos not sold us out. But these are the four, and I'm going to give you their names. And folks, you ought to get a pen and paper. You ought to get a pen and paper and write their phone numbers down and call them and tell them, yeah, thanks for selling us out again. You know, it's all we needed to be betrayed one more time. John Durat. John Durat. It's D-U-R-T-E. His phone number is 202-225-1947. That's 202-225-1947. You had Tom McClintock. Tom McClintock. 202-225-2511. That's Tom McClintock. 202-225-2511. You had Dave Joyce. Dave Joyce from Ohio. 202. Dave's got a 20% conservative record. 20% voting record. 20% Republican voting record. 20%. That means for 80% he voted more like with the Democrats.
Okay? Right.
Dave Joyce, 202-225-5731. And then you had another one, Michael Turner from Ohio, that voted against us. They voted to allow this wicked Merrick Garland to do what he's doing, and I don't know, you know, I don't know what it cost the Democrats to get these four guys to come over, these four rhinos. I don't know what it cost them. 202-225-6465, Mike Turner. 202-225-6465. Why don't you call those folks and ask them, what did the Democrats have to pay to get you to betray us again, to betray the conservative party, to betray your party? Anyhow, with that, it's time to go to Dr. Oz, who I was thinking.
Okay. Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oh, Oz, okay. Doesn't hold a candle to Peter, Dr. Peter Glidden. Huh. And all right, and with that, what is going on in the world of Dr. Peter Glidden?
Well, there's a lot going on, Pastor. It's very kind of you to have me back. It's always a pleasure, quite frankly, an honor to even be on the same wavelength as you. There's some interesting things that exist in the world outside of the United States that a lot of people are unaware of. For instance, it made me think about it when you were talking about, you know, the doctor wanted you to just relax and go to the hospital, and you were accosted in the hospital, so you had to go into the woods in Pennsylvania. You couldn't even get away from anybody there. In Japan, there is a concept called Shinrin Ryoho in Japanese, and that's Japanese for forest healing. Doctors in Japan will actually prescribe Shinrin Ryoho for patients. And so they have to go into the forest and hang out in the forest with nature in order to be soothed and to be calmed and for the electrical system of the body to work. I mean, everything just works better when you are in that environment and you connect with nature. Dr. Henry Lindlar, who was one of the founders of naturopathic medicine, this was Lindlar's position. The primary cause of disease is a violation of God and nature's laws, such as excessive eating, too much alcohol, too much coffee, too much tea, overwork, night work, fear, worry, poor air quality, lack of exercise, and loveless marriages. How about that? The entire naturopathic therapeutic is based upon the fundamental idea that the human body is inhabited by an intelligent spirit, and it is the spiritual vital force which is running the show. And your body knows how to fix itself. Your body wants to fix itself. Your body's trying to fix itself. And it therefore becomes the sacred obligation of the naturopathic physician to develop and deliver therapeutics that support the body's built-in, God-given ability to fix itself. And interestingly, all throughout Europe, they have little towns all throughout Europe have hydrotherapy places, like little parks, where the members of the town can engage in hydrotherapy. They can walk barefoot on the grass. They have walking trails through the hills and with access to water that you can swim in or that you can stick your feet in, and you can walk through the river. And this is just a normal part of life. This isn't like an extracurricular thing that people do, like pickleball. It's just a normal part of their weekly routine. People getting in touch with nature, people grounding themselves to the earth, the electromagnetic field of the earth, people using the therapeutic benefits of water. And it's just a normal thing for them. And it's really interesting because, you know, we don't have any of that here.
You know what, let me just jump in. I've actually been doing that recently. We've been talking about that at the church there. And so now I've actually been going out and going barefoot and putting, you know, my feet there on the grass. And you know what else I've been doing? I've had some problems with arthritis in my knees. And in fact, it was Pastor Hal that told me you ought to try sitting in the sunlight, letting that sunlight hit your knees for 15 or 20 minutes. And I did that, and it actually works, okay? Wow. But I better tell the folks that the phone line, there are people already calling, wanting to talk to you. The phone lines are open at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. When Peter's ready, he'll let me know when to open, to take calls. But go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
No, I see no cause for sorrow, Pastor. The point here is that there is a lot that people can do in order to support their body's built-in God-given ability to fix itself, you know, just by being around nature and investigating things like hydrotherapy. There are remarkable benefits to it that are, you know, documented and clinically verified. And it's never in the culture that we live in, especially in the United States, Canada, and the European Union. This stuff is never going to be mainstream because the pharmaceutical industry has it over on everybody. I mean, the Food and Drug Administration raided the office of a colleague of mine in May because he had developed an effective antidote for the jabs. He developed a very effective antidote. One of the most effective antidotes even helped with shedding, and it was verified by lots of nurses, people working in hospitals. And the Food and Drug Administration raided his office. They took all of his equipment, and 2 months later now, they still haven't charged him with anything. And it is a self-regulating, self-policing medical monopoly that has been in charge of the development and delivery of disease management here in this country for over 100 years.
But, you know, again, it goes back to the fact that people, they're not in tune into reality. You know, God's word, the Bible, is reality.
Yeah.
God's word is reality. And it tells you, big pharma, pharmakia means witchcraft, sorcery. And it tells you, see, some of us understand that this whole industry, they're out there. They've killed, 20 million people now by the jabs around the world? That we understand that this is witchcraft. See, we understand that. The vast majority of people, and that includes the pastors in the pulpits, they're clueless. They're absolutely clueless, aren't they?
Yeah, that's how great, overarching, and complete the deception is, right? And it was all done on purpose. I mean, I've been doing this, been involved with the practice of licensed and regulated naturopathic medicine for 35 years now. And oh, by the way, in case your listeners are unfamiliar with it, and I wouldn't blame them if they are. In order to become a licensed naturopathic physician in this country, here's what you have to do. 4 years of pre-med. I did that at the University of Massachusetts in Amherst, Massachusetts. 4 years of naturopathic medicine at a fully accredited by the United States Department of Education medical school. Then, of course, you have to graduate. Then you have to pass national boards. Then you have to pass state boards. Then you have to get a license to practice naturopathic medicine. And then you have to secure 25 hours of continuing education credit every year. It's full-blown primary care medicine. However, because of the medical monopoly, naturopathic medicine is only licensed and regulated in 26 states. And in Tennessee, it's a felony to practice naturopathic medicine. And this has nothing to do with public safety. This has nothing to do with public health. This has everything to do with turf war. Because remember, in the pharmaceutical method, a patient cured is a customer lost. And so, you know, we haven't had a free medical market for longer than anybody's been alive. And it's lack of a free medical market that's killing us. I hear Bobby Kennedy talking all the time on social media that if he's elected president, one of the first things that he's going to do, one of the top five things in his agenda, is figure out a way to end the chronic disease epidemic in the United States. And I'll tell you how to end the chronic disease epidemic in 24 hours. You eliminate the Food and Drug Administration, and you put medical freedom into the Constitution. If we had medical freedom in the Constitution, if we had medical freedom in this country, within 5 years, chronic disease would be eradicated because members of my profession, members of the Ayurvedic medical profession, members of the traditional Chinese medical profession have been curing chronic disease for hundreds of years. We know what to do to help people recover their health. But again, our information, even though licensed and regulated at least in 26 states, science-based, clinically verified, will never enter the mainstream because it is in direct opposition to the pharmaceutical agenda. And look, thank God for insulin. Thank God for lidocaine. Thank God for the sterile technique. Thank God for general anesthesia. There is room in the world for, you know, drugs, but drugs are like guns. It's not the gun, it's how it's used. It's not the drug, it's how it's used. We desperately need a free medical market in this country. We don't have it, and that would usher in an entire new generation of health recovery possibilities.
Absolutely. Are you ready to take some calls?
Yeah, I'm ready if you are, unless you have anything else you'd like to talk about. I really don't want to hog the show here, but it's up to you, Pastor.
Well, no, this is they're here for you. Every time you're here, the phone lines light up from all across the country. And now Jim in Cleveland here is wanting to talk. Hey, Jim, you're in the air.
Hi, Dr. Glidden. How are you?
Best day of my life so far, Jim. Thanks for calling.
So I was with a woman tonight that's supposed to have surgery on her knee, and she's so afraid to have surgery. But I remember a couple months ago you talking about knee surgery because of arthritis.
Yeah.
What's your thinking of that?
Oh, well, I can tell you exactly about it, right? So we recommend surgery as a first resort only in life-threatening situations, like you have a bullet in your arm, you know, you're in a car accident, you have a bleeding femoral artery, you need surgery immediately in order to save your life. But for non-life-threatening conditions like arthritis, we use surgery as a last resort. Because, quite frankly, there's no amount of CT scan or X-ray or MRI that can tell any physician anywhere in the world how great or small your body's ability to fix itself is. And listen, there is a point beyond which the body can't fix itself because you've waited too long or the damage is too great, right? I mean, I don't know of any therapeutic that's going to grow back a finger if you cut it off in a bandsaw. But from the surgeon's point of view, it's like the fellow said, you know, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. So the surgeon is going to recommend surgery because that's all that the surgeon knows. And a very good friend of mine, Dave Janda, was a world-famous orthopedic surgeon. I mean, he did Kobe Bryant's shoulder. He was in high demand. He was on the Oprah show. I mean, he was an advisor for President Reagan. I mean, he was a very, very influential orthopedic surgeon. And he did good work because he only did surgery when it was necessary. But he had arthritis in his neck, and they told him he needed surgery. He came to me, and we fixed it in 4 weeks with medical nutrition. Now he doesn't need surgery, and he's not in any pain. He has more energy than he's had in a long, long time, and he's lost weight spontaneously, all as a function of the holistic therapeutic. So when it comes to an arthritic condition, the smartest idea is to attempt to fix the problem before you just automatically go into surgery. And this point of view, this therapeutic, this strategy is the word I'm looking for, is like never fail fudge. Because let's say that you have, in fact, waited too long. The arthritis is too bad. It's beyond the body's ability to fix itself. Well, okay. At least now you have been neutrophied for 90 days, which is our recommendation. You try to fix the joint protocol for 90 days before you judge it up or down. And if after 90 days there's been zero change in any of your pain, it hasn't worked at all, well, then you can have surgery. But if you have surgery with a neutrophied body, you're going to sail right through the surgery and you're going to recover in half the time because the medical nutrition strengthens your body internally. So we always recommend with arthritis that we give it the old college try and, you know, with medical nutrition and dietary modification to attempt to fix it. And I don't have a crystal ball here, man, but more often than not, the arthritic condition resolves really pretty easily. And it's really only extreme cases of arthritis that are hard to move that needle. So I would recommend she doesn't have surgery. And she calls up the good people at Eiffel Health and asks them for the healthy bone and joint pack, and they will tell her how to take it. And we do that for 90 days, plus eliminate the 12 bad foods and keep her fingers crossed and see what bounces back.
Do you have a number for that Eiffel Health?
Eiffel Health, yes, sir, I do. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 888-618-1796. Just tell them you need the healthy bone and joint pack. They'll tell you how to take it, how to get it. I'm sorry?
888-618-1796. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It really is. It's, you know, and when it works, if you have intervened in time, it's really great because, you know, being in pain all the time is no fun, and it kind of whittles away at a lot of other areas of your body, and you're just not yourself. But if she can bounce back, it's going to be a whole new world, and that beats a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, right?
Thank you so much, Doc.
All right, yeah, thank you.
Please call us back and let us know what happens, please. I'm interested.
All right, thanks, Big Jim. I know that fellow. Okay, we're coming up to a break, but Clifford is next. And bring up Clifford and hang on, Clifford, because we're coming up to a break here just in a few seconds.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. You got a whole minute to before we go to the break.
Okay. Well, one of the things, I'll start my first question, then I'll go to my second. My first question would be on hyssop from the Bible and Boswellia, which they said is Indian frankincense, which they use sometimes for arthritis. And, you know, I'll start with that, and then I have a second question. But that's supposedly from Eastern Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. So what do you think about some of the biblical citations for things you could take that go back? Do you see anything with that that's helpful?
Yeah, we've been using Boswellia forever. And, you know, there are ways to extract the active constituents from that plant in a way that's better than another, you know, like
you'll have to hold on to that, Peter, because we're coming up to a hard break, and you can pick it up right after this very short break. Be right back with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.